Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
Now let's continue our teaching that we have been having on the matter of the force of faith by reading today from the book of Genesis chapter 18. Now the story here is about when God wanted to go and destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and he stopped by the tent of Abraham. And this was when he was about to depart. I'll be reading from the King James Version. Now from verse 17, that's Genesis chapter 18. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do?" That is what I'm about to do. He says, "Seeing that Abraham will surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him." He said, "For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, that they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him." Now, I'm not going to read beyond that because the point I want to bring out from here is not about Sodom and Gomorrah per se, but about the life of Abraham and how God called him. Now, before I delve into that deeper, I want to just review for a minute what we have been saying concerning this matter of faith. We have explained that faith is a force, is not just a state of heart, but that any man walking by faith, Habakkuk said, we acquire life. That is, where he should have died, he would discover that life will be given birth to in his situation. That is, where people said this man should fail, where people said this man should amount to nothing, where people said that this woman can never bear children for certain reasons, where the doctor says that, no, her womb has been permanently damaged, would discover that faith will bring life to that womb that was damaged, and the person would begin to live. That is, he will acquire life by his faith. That's what we mean. So we said faith is a force. I've emphasized the fact that faith must have an expectation for it to be complete. That is, you will look at your life today. The Bible says that godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise for the life that now is and that which is to come. Godliness has a promise. And a man of faith lays hold of the promise of God by his faith. And that brings to reality that which God recorded as his plan for the person in the heavens. We have established that. So, and I began to emphasize the issue of the ability to believe. You don't carry weight because you are just determined. You carry it because you have the ability. And the responsibility of every child of God is to build up his faith to the level where he will have that ability to believe. So Jesus said in the book of Mark chapter 11, he said simply that if you can believe, that's the point. He said, when he was talking about belief that you have received and you will have it, he gave faith as a condition. And when we read from Mark chapter 9, he said, this is how it is with faith. If you can believe. The question is if you can believe. That is, we are supposed to develop our ability to believe. We talked about the power of thanksgiving, we must never forget. And then last of all, we've been talking about the power of love. And I specifically took time out to explain the reason why the widow of Zarephath was able to believe Elijah, though a stranger appeared at her doorsteps asking for her last meal. A lot of us have gone to church and we have been told to give our last meal, we'll get a breakthrough. And a lot of us, we don't understand why we should do that, number one. And many of us who have done it have gotten nothing. The reason being that we're not walking by faith, we're just walking out of our own personal covetousness. But in the case of the widow of Zarephath, I explained that the point was that she was one who fed the poor in previous times. She was the one who welcomed strangers. And if you look through the scriptures, you'll see that God specially always blesses those who help those who are helpless. In fact, the Bible says that you should be careful to treat strangers nicely, that many have entertained angels unaware. And when he was talking about that, he was talking specifically about Abraham. Because if you understand the setting in which they live then, a man is traveling, he's traveling in the wilderness. That is, after the tent of Abraham, he will have to move a long distance before he meets another person's tent. So Abraham was careful to take good care of the person that was coming upon him by accident. Please, let's get that point. And that also happened with the widow of Zarephath, we explained. So that when in the time of her own difficulty, she cried out to God, because of her past deeds, God stimulated faith in her heart and sent a prophet, a stranger to her, all right, he may have been, but because of her past deeds, she was able to believe him. We said the same thing happened with Cornelius, the same thing happened with Ruth. Ruth, last one we talked about, was concerned about Naomi, that Naomi as an elderly woman should not be left desolate, and she would therefore was ready to risk her own future so as to give comfort to the latter days of Naomi, and God rewarded her abundantly. And I need to emphasize that because a lot of us have misunderstood the concept about faith. We think it's just the way by which we get all the comfort that we want in life, so that your friends can't shine on you, that they have cars and you you don't have. They built houses and you don't have. So that you want to use your faith to get your own house. You want to use your faith to get your own car. You want to use your faith to get your own money. Now listen to me. God gives those things to us as a natural consequence of working with Him. That is, anyone who works and determines in himself to please God will eventually discover that there is nothing that they really desire in life that they will not have. And that's the power of Christianity and godliness. Godliness is not a means of getting things. Please, we must understand that. That the reason why we go to church, because you see, when people are in lack and they're in difficulty, now God uses that opportunity to reach out to them and draw them to Himself. But then, a lot of us, what we just use is that we use God as a means of getting something. Just like Israel. Many times in those days, Israel would be in difficulty, they will be in captivity, and then they will cry out to God. And as soon as God returns them out of captivity into abundance and into their own land, they will forsake Him and start going after other gods. That is not how to serve God in truth. Are you getting the point I'm making? That the real following of God is just for the sake of being pleasing to Him. But anyone who walks with God, the Bible says that he will never lack anything that is good for him. That if you are pleasing to God, God will always give you that which is good. That's a matter of fact. So faith is not just about trying to get something for myself. Faith is primarily the means by which I walk in a manner that is pleasing to God. And I'm going to explain something today. That which was the reason why I read the matter of Abraham. So we have been explaining the issue of faith. That it works by love. Any man who really, any woman who from the bottom of her heart, love is her motivation, will discover faith to do things that he or she did not know was possible. You will just discover that faith in yourself. I explained that God helps people with faith. There is no man who just by himself just said, you know, I'm going to believe and nothing is going to happen. That you cannot shake me. I will refuse to doubt. No, God helps you. The Bible talks about drawing near to the throne of grace and finding grace and obtaining mercy in the time of need. The Bible talks about the fact that angels came and strengthened Jesus Christ. Are you getting what I'm saying? The Bible talks about those things. You see, therefore, that God helps people with their faith. God can make people not believe. He says sincerely to Moses that do all the miracles you want to do. I have determined that Pharaoh will not believe. He said, I have hardened his heart. Now, I think I should just talk about that briefly. You see, just as love stimulates faith and thanksgiving stimulates the capacity to believe, in the same manner, grumbling, now get my point, being unthankful, being a complainer, and being a wicked person, one who doesn't care about other people, also removes the capacity to believe. Because in the case of Pharaoh, what happened was that God judged his previous works and determined that this man will be judged. And therefore he said, no matter what you do, I said this man will not believe. What I want to emphasize on again is the fact that God does help people believe. And that if we do what is right, God will stimulate faith in our hearts, and it is not by our own struggles. I'm emphasizing again that Christianity is a walk. It's not just a spur of the moment thing. It's not that when I need a car, I go and sow a seed and I wait for the car. When I need a house, I'll go and sow a seed. I'll go and give a sacrificial offering and expect God to give me a house. Those are the wrong motives that we have brought into Christianity, and we have taught them as if they are divine principles. They are not. The truth about Christianity is that it's a constant walk with God. He said, take no thought for the morrow. What you shall eat, what you shall drink, and wherewith shall you be clothed. He said, after all these things the Gentiles seek. But this is the power of the believer. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and every other thing, house, cars, clothes, wife, husband, children, will be added to you. Get the point? Those things are not the objects of faith. They are the additions of faith. What is the real thing about faith? That we use our faith to walk in a manner that is pleasing to God. Are you getting me? And once we have walked in that manner, God will add all other things to us. Now, we've been talking about all these things. Now, why did I read the story of Abraham? I wanted us to understand that particular scripture. That God explained that there was a reason why he chose Abraham. He said, Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, that they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. And then as a consequence, notice this, God will bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. Now, there's a reason why I read this. Abraham, we all call him the father of faith. When the Bible was going to talk about faith, Paul explained in the book of Romans, if you read around that chapter 4, he talked extensively about the faith of Abraham. Abraham is like the example of faith. Anybody who is blessed, read Galatians, is blessed with the blessing of Abraham. Are you getting my point? When God had a covenant with Abraham, Jesus was a product of the covenant he had with Abraham. In the history of mankind, Abraham has become special. In fact, when Jesus was going to tell the story about the rich fool, the rich man who Lazarus used to stay at his gate, when the man died, and Lazarus also died, he explained that Lazarus was carried to Abraham's bosom to tell you that Abraham was an important person. Are you getting my point? When God was going to talk to the children of Israel in Isaiah chapter 51, he said, look to your father Abraham, all right? He said, when he was one, I called him. What I want to bring out here is this, that God called Abraham, and Abraham is an important person for all the generations of mankind. The blessings of God in today's age, all right, is a product of the blessing that he placed upon Abraham. Like he said here, he said, through him, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. That is a matter of fact. That's just the way things are. Now, but what I want to bring out here is this, that God called Abraham when Abraham did not have great faith. When I was writing that book, Great Faith Can Be Yours, I discussed that. That, you see, God is the one that teaches us faith. I've been trying to put this emphasis across to us, that it's not us that just make up our minds to have faith. Do you get my point? That is great faith. That is, it is God that instructs us in the way of righteousness. I'm bringing out something. That at the beginning, God called Abraham. He was not a man of great faith. What happened was that God saw a little faith in his heart. And I will explain that either today or next time. God saw a little faith in his heart. And that little faith, Abraham allowed God to build it into a great faith in his life. Now, what was the little faith that God saw in his heart? You know, we hear that many are called and few are chosen. Now, what a lot of us don't ask ourselves is that why did God choose the few? And I want to put it across to us again today, that God has a reason for choosing people. God does not just close his eyes, throws his dice, and says that whoever this falls upon, Gabriel, Angel Gabriel now, go and bring him for me. I want to bless that man. He doesn't just close his eyes and throw his blessing like a wedding bouquet. Somebody catch it. You are going to be next if you're able to catch it. Now, that's not the way it is with God. God looks at the heart of people and he judges why he should choose them. And in the case of Abraham, he said something here. He said, I know him. He will command his children and his household after him that they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. Now, please notice what God said about Abraham. He said, I will bless you, you will be a blessing. Please, I need to explain this. I'm going somewhere. God is very kind, and we must understand. I'm trying to say something about the purpose of faith and how we can build our faith by understanding the purpose of faith. God is very kind, and God desires to bless people. God wanted to pour forth his blessing upon this earth. Do you get my point? And before he could do it, all right, and before God can do it anytime, all right, even till now, before God can pour forth his blessing, he must find a person of faith to pour it through. You know, people say sometimes that how come many people go to church and the nation like ours is not yet transformed? Let me say to you, God doesn't just pour forth blessing because we have prayed. When we pray, he desires to pour forth blessing. We have activated his desire by our prayer. Do you get my point? But to be able to bring the blessing down to the earth, what he needs is a person of faith. God requires it as a matter of necessity. There must be a person of faith to bring the blessing of God down to the earth. Now, when God was going to send Jesus Christ and redeem the whole of mankind from all their troubles, he needed somebody to download that blessing from heaven. And that was why he called Abraham. Now, for Abraham to bring that level of blessing from heaven, he had to have great faith. Please get what I'm saying. But that great faith in his heart had to be taught to him by God. God realized that Abraham by himself couldn't have that faith so great. But Abraham had a little level of faith. He was a responsible man. Let me say that. That is, you look at his lifestyle. I'm bringing out something here. He was one person that was concerned about his descendants, even though he didn't have them yet. Please get the point. Abraham will have servants and he will treat them well. Abraham will have a household full of people that are not his natural descent, but they will be so committed to him and to his God, whatever he's doing, because of how he had treated them. And that's why God made a statement in verse 19 here of Genesis chapter 18. He said, I know him. He will command his children and his household after him that they shall keep the way of the Lord. At this point in time, Abraham did not have children. But because of what God had observed in his life, now, get my point? That was why God said categorically, I know him. Do you get the point I'm making? Now, listen to me. A lot of us want to live careless lives and then get to church and think we'll have great faith suddenly. And that's what I'm teaching. You can't separate church life from everyday life. You get to the office, the basic thing you can do to treat your employees nicely, you don't do it, but you think you will go to church and somebody will shout, this year shall be your year of great blessing. And you will shout amen and it will be yours. I said something to us earlier. When prayer is being said, anybody can shout amen. When prayer is being said, anybody can jump up. When the word of God is being preached, anybody can be excited. The real thing about the person that really has faith is the day after the preaching, a week afterwards, months afterwards, how is your heart still solid in the word that you heard on that January 1st or December 31st, crossover night? Now, that's what I'm trying to explain. For your heart to remain solid in faith, it is because God supplies to you the spirit of faith. And there are conditions. I'm explaining that. Here, God talked about Abraham, that this is a man who treats his household well and takes it upon him as a responsibility to be in charge and to command them appropriately. You are getting what I'm saying? I am explaining that Abraham's natural lifestyle, Abraham's way of doing things naturally, okay? The choices he had made in previous times on how to walk in a righteous... Now, notice what God said here. To do justice and judgment. The way Abraham was doing justice and judgment, God noted it. I explained something last time about Cornelius. That Cornelius was a kind man, a man of prayer. And God stimulated faith in his heart by visions. He saw the vision of an angel, and then Peter came to his house and preached the gospel to him. Why did God go through the trouble of giving a vision to Cornelius? It was because Cornelius was already a man of prayer and a kind man who used to give alms to people. He was a man in authority that used his authority to be a blessing to people. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, this is how we walk in faith. We may not have much. Please listen to this. Abraham at this point in time did not have any child of his own. Yet God was already bragging about him, saying that this one, I know he will command his children. I know he will take charge in his household because he has seen the way he did it with his servants. I say this all the time, that people want to go to church and have somebody prophesy over them. This year is your year of marriage. This year is the year in which God will show you your own spouse. And if you want to shout amen, and the blessing of God will come from just shouting amen. I tell both young men and young women that the way you get a blessing of husband and a blessing of wife is by being a good wife even though you are not married yet. And being a good husband even though you don't have a wife yet. Are you getting my point? I remember many years ago, there was a lady, a sister in the church I attended, and a friend of mine. We lived around the same area. And I remember one day, events came to a head one day. I called the girl plainly in front of other people. I said, you see, the way you behave, you can never have a good husband. And listen, and I was not talking out of anger. I had thought plenty about it. I said, this character does not beget good husbands. You get what I'm trying to say? No, it doesn't. That, you see, you are very disrespectful. Are you getting my point? You don't hold men in any good esteem. You believe that every man you see is just trying to take advantage of a woman. You believe that they are not responsible people, and you say it and you behave towards them like that. I said, for this reason, except you change, hear it from me. In the presence of many witnesses, you can never marry a good husband. That day, I believe she learned a lesson. Because at subsequent encounters, I said, no, this girl has learned something. I believe it was from the thing I said. Are you getting the point I'm making? I remember one day, I went somewhere with somebody. And as soon as we entered, I went to go and visit. The lady in the house, you know, got up, greeted us very nicely, eventually almost knelt down to greet us welcome. And by the time the lady left the sitting room where we're sitting, the person I went with said that, did you notice how nice that lady was? I said, yes. He said, let me tell you why. It's the last time she went home to go and see her mother. Her mother told her that, do you know why you are not married? You are very rude. No man will ever marry a woman like you. And you know the interesting part, you see, she was trying to change her character at that particular point in time, all right? But then some things just slipped out. There are statements she will make. Do you get what I'm saying? And you wonder, in fact, I said, like, why is this person talking like this? No, in the course of gist, we're just talking. You just make a statement. Now, I was much younger than she was at that time. But I was just observing that she had a way of talking down at people. Do you get what I'm saying? You're talking, she just talks down at you. He explained, he said, that's her natural character. That's the way she behaves. And that recently her mother sat her down and laughed her thoroughly. And that was why she was beginning to make amends. And when we entered the house, she greeted us very well. He said that, no, that he's trying to form a new habit. I'm bringing out the points here. Abraham, God looked at his heart and built great faith into it. So people want to sit down in church and say, this year, you will find your own husband. And the person wants to shout, amen. Now, listen to this. But then, what about everyday work? You go to work, you meet men who are not married. I remember another lady I knew at the time. One day, the way we related, you know, just somebody, we worked in the same place, and one day I looked at her, I said, look, why do young women like you behave like this? I said, think about it. If you want to get married, people like me should be praying. We'll come and marry you. Now, I didn't mean that as a matter of bragging. This is just a matter of fact. If you are going to marry a husband, you come from the likes of my kind of person, as a matter of fact.
I said, but look at when you talk to me. When I'm talking to you, sometimes you virtually want to shut me up. I said, you cannot attract a good man like that. You see, people, let me tell you something about faith. Faith cannot be divorced from an everyday manner of life. It can't be. It cannot be divorced from your good character. It cannot be. I'm explaining here that God called Abraham. He said, I have called him. All right? He said, I know him. He will command his children and his household after him. Now, I explained from that book of Isaiah chapter 51 that he said, look to your father Abraham, that's in verse 2, and to Sarah who gave birth to you in pain. When he was one, I called him. That is, this is a point. That is when God called Abraham, it wasn't much. When God called Abraham, he was not a man of great faith. I like to say that a lot of us say that, hey, Abraham just moved from one place and went to another place. I say he was used to moving. Let's get the point clear. He was not the one that started moving. It was his father, Terah, that God called out of the awe of the Chaldeans. And they moved down to Haran. And from Haran, God commanded Abraham to move further. But God would tell him that, I was the one who called you from the awe of the Chaldeans. Which tells you that God already called his father. They were already moving. Abraham was used to moving. Now, some of us, we think that it's a sign of great faith. No, it was little faith on his part. He was used to moving. It took God 25 years to build the great faith in his life. But what I'm saying here is this. From the beginning, God knew the kind of person he was building great faith inside. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, you cannot divorce a great faith from a good and godly character. That's what I'm trying to explain. That when God sees that, basically, this is a good man. And that's so important. That in his heart or in her heart, this fellow is a good person. Now, I'll give as an example. There are people who are praying for great businesses. Now, let me say this. Sometimes when we're talking about the gospel of give and you shall receive, we preach a good message to wicked people. Listen, there's a reason I'm saying this. No, now, I was about to say something about sometimes people are praying for great businesses. Now, everything has a purpose in life. That's a matter of fact. Now, when I say we preach a good message to wicked people is this. Give and it shall be given to you is a correct gospel. But like I said the other time, God examines motives. If a man is praying, God, give me a great business. Build up my business till it becomes a multi-million dollar business. God hears. But God examines his motives. Now, when I said that we preach a good message to a wrong people is that when a man is a wicked man who is only aspiring for that for his own vain glory, no matter how much he tries, faith cannot be built in his heart to receive it. Are you getting the point I'm making? No, faith cannot be built in his heart. But if he was a good man who in his little business, he's not cheating people. The little business he has right now, he uses it to bless other people. Because the reason why God gives people businesses is simple. It's so that you can do for multitudes what they can't do for themselves. For example, I need to go to Lagos. I don't have to trek. Do you get my point? I mean, either if I can't drive my own car or fly my own private jet, I either take a public transportation, do you understand? Or just take a flight. I don't have to own the plane. I don't have to own the bus. Are you getting me? So God gives to people the opportunity to bless multitudes. That's what businesses are. If you remember when I was talking about creating the opportunity for prosperity, I explained the fact that we must understand what you call a job. That a job is my opportunity to bless somebody else, not just my way of getting money. It's my opportunity to impart my skill into improving somebody else's life. And that's what businesses are. The way by which you multiply the little we have so that we can bless a multitude. If every one of us had to manufacture our own car when we needed it, how many cars would we have to drive? But there are people that God has given the business of making cars. And he says, you are a doctor. Go and bless hundreds and thousands, all right, in their health. And they will return to you. Then you will take out of the money they have returned to you. You will give to the man who I have commanded to manufacture cars so that your type can buy. Are you getting my point? Now, I'm talking about that principle of give and you shall receive. Now, when somebody thinks that all I need to do is give money and God will give back to me, then I'll become richer. He has missed the purpose of God. The principle behind giving and receiving is this. It's found simply in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. It said in verse 10, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, he will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. Now this is the point I'm trying to make here. Now, so this is the principle of give and you shall get. The real principle is that I exercise myself in little. And God gives me more to be able to do that which I was doing before. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Remember that Jesus, when he was talking about the parable of the talents, he said that the one that had much. More was given to him. Why? Because of his demonstrated ability to handle much. So people think that give money to God and you will get plenty back. Please, it doesn't work like that. This is how it works. Exercise yourself in faithfulness and you'll be rewarded with more opportunities to be faithful. David became a king in Israel. A lot of us look at it as if, oh, the man began to enjoy life. No. God said, you have been faithful in shepherding sheep. Therefore, I will make you a shepherd of men. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Because of your faithfulness in little, you will now be in charge of much. That is the real principle of giving and receiving. It is so that God might multiply your seed for sowing. I'm emphasizing this. That we know we're looking at the life of Abraham. Now, which kind of person was Abraham? Abraham was a man who will commit the covenant that God teaches him to the people after him. And God has seen the way he was doing it in his household. So he said, you know what I'm going to do? God made sure that by naturally, his wife couldn't bear. In the midst of that, God called him out and began to teach him faith. Are you getting my point? There is the reason. That's what I'm saying. There was a reason. It was because God wanted to bless you and I. And until we learn justice and righteousness, we can't receive God's blessing. So he found a man who will teach justice and righteousness. And he taught him faith until he had a son by faith. And then he began to teach justice and righteousness to that son. All right. Now, so you see, this is the point I want us to get. That with God, this is how it works. We cannot divorce a good lifestyle from the ability to have great faith. That's what I've tried to say in all these things that I've said so far. But that as we walk with God every day, exercising ourselves in righteousness, are you getting my point? Then we are opening our hearts for the ability to believe the word of God when it will come. Listen to me. Except you believe, God's word will not be manifested in your life. No, it wouldn't be. Therefore, God builds a man up to a level. And then one particular day, like we read, God suddenly stops in the house of Abraham and says, Genesis 18, I will surely return to you at this time next year. And behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. God said that and for the first time gave Abraham a date. Do you get what I'm saying? For many years before now, God had been talking with him. He said, walk with me and be perfect and I will bless you. But on this particular day, God spoke to Abraham and he gave him a date. Because he knew that now this man had the strength to believe. Do you get my point?
The Way of Success is a production of Kingdom Word Ministries, a non-denominational teaching ministry based in Enugu, Nigeria. For more information and for free access to Pastor Banky's audio messages, books and other materials, log on to kingdomword-ng.org. Our mailing address is mails@kingdomword-ng.org. or P.O. Box 2273 Enugu, Nigeria. Please join us same time next week for another refreshing time with the Word of God, and have a blessed week.